Okay. Thanks for inviting me. So this will be on matching and merging, as the title says. And I will start with a brief introduction to the history of all these methods. And I'm sorry that I forgot to put one of them, but I will mention it. It all started, this entire business of correcting parton showers started with the first actual parton showers that were working. That was, for one thing, the color coherent evolution that was implemented in 84, as Dave already mentioned, in Herwig, and the first working initial state parton shower at about the same time in Pythia. And then shortly afterwards came the first things that you could consider as a matching technique. These were matrix element corrections. Matrix element corrections later re-implemented in the context of Herwig. And then in the late 90s, the first technique for reclustering a matrix element or a partonic final state using parton shower probabilities, which is pretty much the basis of the way we still cluster this today. And the basis for these leading order merging techniques that arose in the early 2000s, at about the same time, the first matching technique for combining a full next to leading order calculation, fixed order calculation, with a parton shower. Later amended into the Powerhack method to eliminate the problem of negative weights. And then again, a few years later, the first method to combine various of the various next to leading order calculations into an inclusive event sample. Goes under the name of NL3SP. And the two methods, or well, three methods that we use today, maps at NLO, unlops, and FXFX for next to leading order merging. And I explain what is behind of some of these acronyms later on. And then again, a few years later, the two first techniques to match next to leading order calculations to parton showers. So I've color coded this. The matching, more matching related topics are in blue, and the more merging related topics are in red. So there's a sort of parallel development of all these things, because it's all sort of related to how you correctly subtract double counting from the parton shower when you combine it with a fixed order calculation. Okay. So assume you want to do a leading order calculation for a particular observable. You would integrate over the Born cross-section and just measure your observable. That gives you a sort of an average of the observable in a Monte Carlo event sample, if you will. If you do this at next to leading order, you have to add real corrections and virtual corrections. And I subsume the collinear counterterms into this V tilde here. If you do this with a parton shower, let's assume we have a parton shower that only generates up to one emission. So here's the no emission term, that's just the Sudokov factor. In this case, you would measure the observable on the Born configuration. Here's the emission term. In this case, you would measure the observable on the real emission configuration. Your Sudokov form factor here runs between the hard scale and the cutoff scale of the parton shower. Here it runs between the hard scale and the scale where the emission happens, because the cross section that you generate here still has to be inclusive with respect to further emissions. Okay. If you expand this square bracket here to first order and alpha, then you can compare with the fixed order calculation, and you find that you generate a term which corresponds to the real emission term. This is because the kinematics here is the same. That basically comes with the Born times the branching probability, or the splitting kernel in the parton shower in the unintegrated form. And here you generate the integral of the branching probability that is essentially the first order expansion of the Sudokov that corresponds to the virtual. Now, if you want to put the parton shower in form of the square bracket on top of this fixed order expression here, you would have double counting between these terms. So you have to remove the parton shower expression from the fixed order, because the parton shower is less precise. And okay, so some details on how this would look like in a standard D-club shower are here. The first method to do this correctly was MC at NLO. Came up in 2001, actually, or 2002. Okay, sorry, I thought it was 2001. So you subtract these order alpha terms from the parton shower, and you define two new quantities, which, for the sake of this talk, I have labeled B bar and H. B bar I call the next to leading order weighted Born cross section, because in addition to the Born, it includes virtual corrections, next to leading order integrated counterterms, differential counterterms, the difference between the next to leading order subtraction terms and the Monte Carlo counterterms. Because the parton shower is only leading color correct, at least, well, for the purpose of this talk, because I'm considering the order alpha expansion, and when I go to higher multiplicity, I definitely don't have certain terms, even though I get them on average. I potentially have to add a smoothing function, which takes this term here smoothly to zero as I approach the single soft region where the Poisson shower cannot describe the event-by-event kinematics, even though it describes the radiation pattern on average pretty well. Okay, and then I have the hard remainder function here, which is the difference between the real correction and the Monte Carlo counter terms. Same here, because these terms cancel exactly the singularities in there. There are some soft remainders here, which I have to zero out by using the smoothing function. The way everything is put together is by running a standard Poisson shower on this next to leading order weighted Born cross section, and this is what comes as what is called standard event in MC at NLO, because this looks like a standard Poisson shower starting from a zero additional Poisson state on top of what I consider my core interaction. And then there is this hard remainder where the Poisson shower would start at the scale that is defined by the real emission kinematics. And in order to define that, I also have to do some reclustering, which I will come back to later on. Okay, again, if I expand this, to put this in a sort of more Pauhex-style notation, again, up to the first emission, I expand this generating function of the Poisson shower, I get a no-emission term, and I get an emission term. Okay, so in the same style that I had on the previous slide. And this is just the Poisson shower pseudocurve here. All right. So now when I want to do Pauhex, I replace my Monte Carlo counter terms times the Born cross section with a real emission term in order to zero out my hard remainder. And this is because I don't know which way the sign here goes. I can under or over subtract this, and therefore I can potentially generate a bunch of negative weights. This is true for this term as well. So depending on how complicated the process is, I can either in this term or in this term generate some negative weights which are unpleasant for experimenters who want to push this through the detector simulation, and they don't want to cancel large positive against large negative numbers. So one way to solve this problem is to not actually exponentiate the standard Dieklap kernels, for example, but the full real emission term divided by the Born cross section. So my Poisson shower evolution kernel would be replaced by R over B here. At the same time, I have to maintain unitarity, so this entire square bracket here still has to integrate to 1, and therefore I have to amend my pseudocurve factor with these corrections too. So it becomes a pseudocurve factor that is now e to the minus integral over this term. That's why I label it by R. Okay. So because the hard events are now absent, you get an enhanced high PT region, and this has been discussed in great detail, which is essentially enhanced by a k-factor that's b bar over b, and that can be very large, in particular in the case of Higgs production, inclusive Higgs production. So formally these terms are beyond next to leading order, but they are often sizable. And in order to make the Pauhex results more comparable to MC at NLO results, what the authors did is to introduce a method where you split the real correction into a singular piece and a finite piece, and you exponentiate only the singular piece, and you treat the finite piece as, sorry, there's an O of R missing here, as a hard remainder.
Is that process independent, or?
To a large extent, this can be formulated in a process independent way, yeah. So you can think of this RS as basically the same as the sum of the splitting functions in the MC at NLO case. Yeah. Okay. Now for merging, the idea is different. So we don't do a subtraction. Instead, we do a separation into a hard and a soft region of the phase space. You have a cut in the phase space, which you do in something that you call a jet measure. So that doesn't have to be exactly the KT jet measure. It could be anything you can come up with. And some creative people have done merging in rapidity. Then you put together the Poisson shower in the soft domain with hard matrix element corrections in the hard domain. In the hard domain. So the Poisson shower below Q, something that we call Q cut, which is a cut in this jet, or cut value in this jet measure here, exemplified as this dashed line, and matrix elements above. And if you add the prediction from below and above, you get a smooth curve that describes, for example, the PT distribution of the W over the entire range that is measured. This is a theoretical parameter, so you can vary it left and right, and this way you can assess your merging uncertainty. one way of assessing emerging uncertainty. Okay, so in order to do this merging, we need to define a way that the parton shower would have produced a certain high multiplicity final state. So think of E plus E minus to going to n partons, for example. I start with E plus E minus to QQ bar. One higher order correction that I can calculate, one higher order real correction that I can calculate, for example, is E plus E minus to four partons. How do I find a parton shower history in this, let me phrase it differently. Yeah, no, it's okay. How do I find the parton shower history in this kinematic configuration? Well, I would run a sequential clustering algorithm, which is not a KT algorithm or nothing that you would write down, you know, or use in an experiment, Durham algorithm in this case, because we're in a plus and minus. But we run a clustering algorithm that uses the exact parton shower forward branching probabilities and the exact parton shower kinematics in order to recombine final state partons into intermediate partons that we consider to be the mothers or the and then in the lowest multiplicity as soon as we can't recombine anything anymore, we say okay, we have reached the core process, and this core process in this case would be E plus E minus. So this is the virtual photon, or meant to be the virtual photon, to two partons. Okay, and okay, so that defines for us certain intermediate scales where we can consider these scales as emission scales where the parton shower would have produced the particular parton that we calculated with the full leading order matrix element. Okay, so that tells us what essentially the history would have been in which the parton shower has produced this. However, we still have a problem because the fixed order calculations that we want to combine with the shower are inclusive, and the parton shower would have produced that particular partonic final state as an exclusive state. So we have to add the Sudakoff suppression factors that are in the parton shower, and the easiest way to do this is by using pseudo showers. So once you have a certain history, a certain parton shower history identified through this clustering algorithm, you start from this core process for this from this 2-to-2 process here, and you run the parton shower until you hit the first predefined scale where a parton was emitted that you've identified through your clustering algorithm. At that point, the partonic state changes to three partons. You start your parton shower again. You run again to the next scale, and eventually to the cut. If you emit anything on the way that violates your jet separation criterion, in other words, a parton that is above the merging scale Q cut, you veto the event. What this does for you, you veto the event because this event has or would have been calculated as a higher multiplicity tree level process. Okay, so what this does for you, it calculates a Sudakoff form factor, a conditional probability, for an emission above the merging scale, okay? And this is exactly what you need in order to make the matrix element exclusive at a resolution scale Q cut. So if I want to put this together in the same notation as the matching methods I've shown before, I would write it like this. I start with a Born cross-section. I put the parton shower on top. This time the parton shower is constrained to the region below Q-cut, so I have this theta function here. I put the real correction in the simplest case. I only merge with one additional jet on top. I have this conditional probability that I calculated on the previous slide, and I restrict the emission to the to be above Q-cut. Now I reorder a little bit, so I reorder by parton multiplicity, and I change my notation so that the real correction actually becomes the Born for one higher for one more jet, because this is more convenient when I want to do next to leading order merging. And then it looks like this. Then I have a contribution to my observable, which comes from the exclusive K parton state, and everything that is labeled as resolved here in the sense of Q cut, this is not an experimental resolution. Q cut is a theoretical parameter. Right? This is calculated as the Born for that K parton state times the Sudakoff suppression factors, which come in my case from the vetoed parton shower, but you can calculate them analytically if you want. All of the partons that are in the Born have to be resolved at least at Q cut. And then I put the parton shower on top. And the parton shower is allowed to emit anything, also in a truncated parton shower sense, below Q cut. Okay. So that basically fills in the internal jet structure at the resolution scales that we haven't yet considered by matrix elements. Okay, well, there's still an issue with this, or potential issue with this, and this was addressed by Leif and Stefan, and also by Simon in 2012, which is that we violated the unitarity condition of the pardon shower. So normally we have that one is either no emission plus an emission, or in other words, the pardon shower preserves the inclusive cross-section. Now we have replaced above the resolution scale our pardon shower splitting operator or the splitting kernels by a ratio of matrix elements, the n plus one matrix element over the n pardon matrix element. And unless we have a trivial case where the pardon shower perfectly approximates the matrix element, in which case we don't have to do any merging, we have violated the unitarity. So there. Well, so there are subleading logs which you don't capture in the pardon shower. I mean, as soon as you go to high enough multiplicity, you always have subleading color contributions, and then on average you're good with the splitting kernel, but point by point you're not. And everything else you could say it's a power correction, but it can be numerically large. Okay. There you go. Okay, so we can correct for this though by adding the difference between what we added and the original pardon shower expression in the Born phase space, basically. Okay, and then we have preserved unitarity. And okay, you can see here what the difference is. Stefan, remind me what process is this? Sorry.
W plus jets.
W plus jets. Okay. Okay, so this is as a function of the merging scale, and this is the merge cross-section in the standard merging approach where you have unitarity violation where it goes up to 7% higher compared to the inclusive cross-section, and when you use these inclusive merging, these unitarized merging techniques, you get exactly the inclusive cross-section back. Okay. And yeah, obviously the lower you go in the merging scale, the more severe the problem becomes because you add more and more corrections. Okay, now if I want to bring this to next leading order accuracy, I have to essentially do two things. I combine what we know from MC at NLO or PowHack with what we know from the merging, and this is why I put everything in the same notation before. I add the hard remainder function that I know from MC at NLO, and in this case I have to take care that I now also make it exclusive at the jet resolution scale, and at the same time I have to subtract the double counting that we had here, or that we have between the Sudokov form factors that make the hard configuration exclusive and the actual inclusive NLO calculation, and this is done by this blue bracket here, or parenthesis. Okay. So this is the gist of the method, and then there are different techniques to actually do it and to either include or not include certain higher order terms. This is a summary of what's currently available. So the main message here is not so much, okay, which method is implemented where, but you have a large range of tools that actually implement leading order or next to leading order merging schemes. There are various schemes, and some of them have this unitarity condition built in, and some not. Well, actually, yeah, two of them or one of them has the unitarity condition built in, and the others not. So you can assess your uncertainties. How can I say? You have a way to you have a handle on your uncertainties these days. You don't only have a single tool that you absolutely have to trust, but you can run various tools and you can compare the predictions, and to a large extent that gives you a reliable uncertainty estimate. Okay, so then there are two methods for next to leading order matching. One is NNLOPS, and I don't want to go into the details here. That is based on the MinLO procedure, which is, if you think of it at next to leading order, it's like CKKW without the pardon shower. So it has the scale setting of the method and it has the Sudokov form factors, but it doesn't have the additional emissions, basically. So it allows you to do everything analytically. In order to preserve the NNLO accuracy of the sample, you have to extend this to next to leading log, and the inclusive cross section is obtained by reweighting to NNLO differentially in the Born phase space. The other technique does not aim at higher accuracy for the re-summation. Actually, we thought, okay, we should only combine with what we have from the parton chow right now. So it's based on the unlops merging combined with the QT cutoff technique for actually calculating the NNLO on the flight. And we get the differential distributions from an MC at NLO for the one-jet contribution. So all of these techniques have been compared in the last Lesouche workshop, and the outcome was very interesting in many ways. I'm only flashing a couple of plots. I encourage you to look at the Lesouche proceedings. There are many more there, and they will allow you to some extent to gauge which tool you should use or that may be appropriate for what you want to do. So, okay, so one, in a sense, trivial but very important check is that, for example, for these next-to-next leading order matching techniques, you get the inclusive result for the Higgs boson rapidity, which is the only distribution that we really calculate at next-to-next leading order here, both in terms of the uncertainty and of the central value. And of course, there are small corrections potentially from the parton chow. This doesn't happen for the merging techniques, and because there are different assumptions for unitarization or not unitarization, the cross-section varies all over the place here for the merge predictions. And then here in the distribution of the Higgs PT, you can see where the difference here actually goes. Depending on which parton chow you use for the merging, you get very different results in the small QT, in the small QT region, whereas for the NNLO match techniques, you get pretty good agreement between them and HQT, except for these small QT bins here for the Antulops method. And because of the unitarization, this excess here is then represented by a large negative contribution in the zero QT bin. But I think we think we understand where this comes from and it can be fixed. Anyway, they are all in pretty good agreement, at least within their uncertainties. This is also true for the visible energy distribution. So the NNLO match results are in agreement within their respective uncertainty bands, and even better for the NLO merged results. An interesting thing is that the NLO merge results also seem to be in very good agreement if you compare sort of the blue and the green distribution here with the red. With the gray distribution on the right-hand side with the exact fixed order calculation for Higgs plus jets. Okay, you also get very good agreement for the leading jet PT between the exact fixed order calculation and the NNLO matched results, and even for some of the merged results, and definitely agreement within their respective uncertainties. One thing that I found particularly interesting was the jet veto probability. So we analyzed this in the inclusive case. So you require the Higgs and no additional jet above the veto scale here. Then you can compare this to a SCAT calculation, and the NNLO matched results agree very well with this calculation. As soon as you require an additional jet, the results are sort of all over the place, and this will be an effect that is largely also due to the way the parton chow is run or due to the actual implementation of the parton chow. To some extent, you can infer this from the fact that the NNLO matched result from Sherpa here has sort of the same shape as the NLO merged result from Sherpa, the blue one. So it's likely to be due to the parton chow. Because it's not very likely that we made the same mistake in both implementations. Okay, so now I'm moving to sort of more the news on the merging front. So first of all, the NNLO plus PS or a NNLO plus PS match prediction for W Higgs production was recently published, and as you would expect, on born type observables, because one thing of the scale of the process and the color structure, the corrections are sort of moderate to small. But then as soon as you go to more exclusive distributions or numbers, you can still get sizable corrections from actually matching the NNLO calculation to the parton chow. And one thing that I found particularly interesting that exemplifies this pretty well is the jet veto probability that is here, or the jet cross-section that is here, so that can receive up to 20% corrections from including the parton chow, and even still a sizable correction from including fragmentation and multiple scattering. There was also the first proposal to combine an NNLO-matched calculation with a next-to-leading order calculation of one higher multiplicity. So you have NNLO PS for Higgs inclusive, which includes Higgs plus jet at NLO, and NLO accurate prediction for Higgs plus two jets. Okay, so this was by Fredericks and Hamilton recently, and I'm just flashing some results here. This is a prediction for the JET-PT distribution, and you see that in the high PT region there are still sizable corrections from including these higher multiplicity NLO. Okay. Something that's currently very interesting, also because of the energies that we can access at the LHC and outlook to maybe towards a future collider, is electroweak merging. And there were two collaborations recently looking into this. One is Sherpa. The way this is implemented is by not actually using the.
Stefan, sorry to interrupt, but your talk is 20 plus 10. I thought it's 30 plus 45 plus 15.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not, yeah. Okay. So
I'm almost done anyway.
Okay. Yeah.
No worries. Okay, so what was I going to say? So yes, so it includes only the electroweak virtual corrections actually. It doesn't include the real corrections, which you could either consider as an additional sample if you're talking about W or Z production, or if you could get from YFS inside Chopper if you're thinking about photons. However, as long as you're inclusive with respect to the photons, it doesn't make a difference if you include that or not. And the authors have validated that the main effects which come from the electroweak corrections at high PT are consistent between the merging and the, for example, an exclusive sums calculation, which is very encouraging. And you get, as you would expect, large effects at high PT of the vector boson, for example. There's another implementation of electroweak merging, that's in Pythia. In this case, the parton shower consistently includes QCD and electroweak splitting functions, so not only partons and photons as in the case of Chopper, but also Ws and Zs. This is consistently merged to QCD and electroweak leading automatrix elements, and again, in the high HT region, for example, you can have large effects. As you can see, they are of a similar size as what I showed on the previous slide, and you really don't want to use the standard QCD-only merging here because it would largely overestimate your HT distribution, and this is also true for PT of the vector boson, as I showed on the previous slide, or jet PTs as you go to very high PT. NLO merging and also leading auto merging has also been fully implemented in Herwig++. And this is just to flash some results. This is the jet multiplicity distribution in PP to W plus jets compared between different predictions. Pure parton shower here, plus one jet at leading order here, plus two jets at leading order in the red, and plus zero and one at next to leading order, and two at leading order in green. And you see that it agrees very well with data. Okay, just as a last slide to mention that there is also an alternative to these merging methods. This is the matrix or iterative matrix element correction technique that's implemented in Vincia. That's now implemented for both initial and final state, which was already mentioned earlier. And here's an example for this. This is what the matrix element corrections do for you in the delta phi distribution between the Z and the additional jet. If you include only up to Z plus 1, and if you include up to Z plus 2 or Z plus 3, as you would expect, largest effect comes from the Z plus 2. As soon as you include one more, it doesn't make much of a difference what you get. Okay, so as a very, very brief summary, it's still a very, very active field. There's a lot of development going on. Most methods now come with their own uncertainty estimates, which is good. And the number of tools allows you to eliminate the theory bias of the authors, if you will.
Thank you, Stefan.
Okay, quick comment. So in my talk yesterday, I showed some of these Lesueche plots and said that it's not enough to say that they agree within the scale uncertainties.
That
we have
true.
To understand specific scale choices that cause them to be different, right? There has to be a cause, right? In the sense we can't just allow people to say,
yes,
you know, that our prediction agrees within the scale uncertainty,
yes,
unless we understand that they do choose different scales.
Well, it's pretty clear for some of the predictions. If you look at this, for example, or if you look at the small PT region, or well, not so small PT region here, that you would want to understand this. And yeah, this is actually one of the focus points right now.
Could you comment on the difference between this unitarization method that you're talking about versus what Dave was talking about earlier, where he was kind of explicitly trying to get away from unitarization?
Yeah, they are sort of, well, they are not exactly opposed to each other. even though it might look like. So the idea here is to say, okay, if I don't know the exact value of the virtual corrections, I should better not put sort of something in that comes from the real corrections. So therefore I unitarize. Eventually you might want to put the actual virtual corrections.
Actually, just since you have the slide up there, you can note the difference in the rapidity distribution and next to the leading order.
Yes, here? Yes.
We're talking about what the lower plot.
Oh, this one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we were talking about that yesterday. Mm-hmm. But we didn't go out to that high of rapidity. But if you go out past 4, you start to see real differences because of the log of 1 minus x terms.
Yes. Yes.
Can you show again the slide with the comparisons of the HT distributions of the different generators? So, I mean, is this with underlying event turned off in every case?
Or? This is pure Parton level.
Hmm?
This is pure Parton level. Yes,
Parton,
underlying
yeah,
event turned
okay.
off.
So I think there's an interesting issue about the factorization violation in these HT type variables. I mean, it's a function of the jet PT cut, right? And it's clear that as the jet PT goes to zero, unless you limit yourself to, say, the first 4 jets or something like that, it's clear that as the jet cut goes to zero, factorization will be violated because the underlying event,
yes.
you know, these spectator interactions will overwhelm everything. So I think it would be quite interesting to see how these things compare with each other and with experiment, both with respect to the underlying event and the jet PT cut.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Okay, we will need to move on to the next talk. Thank you once more, Stefan.
Okay.